This is Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video, gaming, gadget, and gear related on DVDverdict.com. This week, Steve's soul is prepared for E3. John's soul is prepared for E3. Kev's soul is prepared for E3. And we review some games. Hello, you are, of course, listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming.
Wub, wub.
And gear related.
On DVDverdict.com. With me, as always, are Kevin, somebody dropped the beat, Woolridge.
I didn't actually drop the beat.
No, but somebody did.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You should have opened with something like, you know, rumors of my demise have been greatly exaggerated.
You were on the last episode. I think we made that joke.
Really?
You were.
I thought, oh, you know what? I went back and listened to the episode previous that I hadn't listened to. Never mind.
Also with me is Mr. John. Two turntables and a microphone is not euphemism for penis, Mercer.
It really isn't.
I, of course, am your host. Steve doesn't have a clever middle name because he's not a rap MC. Power.
I thought your middle name was Tiberius.
No way, we'll name him after your dad. We'll call him Jim.
Oh.
I cried.
Great scene.
I cried.
Yeah, I watched that the other night. I just had to.
It's a great movie. I still haven't seen the second one, so, you know, I'm behind.
You are. I've watched it twice, man. Come on.
I will, however, say that I did play a game that we'll be talking about later in the news yesterday. This is not a review. This is just a quick little intro. We'll get to it later, but it's pretty kick-ass.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was impressed. So anyway, you know, speaking of games and gamers and other people who play games who aren't necessarily gamers because they don't fit the social criteria to be labeled as such, this is the week before E3.
It is.
How did that happen?
Same time every year. Is it same time every year?
What happened is Microsoft had their system reveal and we were all distracted.
Oh.
E3 just snuck the fuck up on us.
I saw what happened there.
I just said up twice in a row.
up.
Wub, wub.
How is it June already?
Wow, it's June.
There have also been some cool games.
Yeah, I couldn't tell considering it's still like 6 degrees outside.
Yeah, really though. It was nicer in May than it's been in June. Good thing we had all that nice weather in May, like to get all the flowers and trees blooming. That way, you know, they may be able to survive the frosts of June.
Winter's coming. No spoilers, please. No spoilers.
I will only say...
No, don't say a word. I've got 3 more days until I'm in a place where the outside world doesn't exist, and I can binge watch it.
I will say one thing, and it's not a spoiler.
Don't you dare. I know people die. Come on. It's Martin.
No, it has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. I can only say that based upon the amount of crazy post-Game of Thrones shitstorm that hit Facebook,
Yeah. It
must have been the Red Wedding last Sunday.
I've been seeing that particular phrase online.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess that's what it is. I don't know anything about it. Every time I see the words Game of Thrones, I go to another page.
You go to your happy place.
I'm like, nope, not even going to, I'm now not going
to. When you get to the Red Wedding, your happy place will not console you.
It's episode 9, so.
So anyway, now that we've got our random geek speak out of the way, John, you've been playing games this week, haven't you?
More than Kevin.
I've been playing games this week, but no games that you guys want to hear about.
hey, that's Kevin's been, brother.
Kevin's been playing a thrilling match-striking simulator.
That was weeks ago, motherfucker.
Despite... a rather lukewarm reception from the review community, the gaming media.
I only refer to as tepid.
That's a good word.
Yeah, that's a tepid reception if there ever was one.
Yeah. I decided to take Fuse for a spin. And in what's becoming a Blast Processing tradition, you know, kind of like Star Trek a few weeks ago, I found myself really, really enjoying it. Now, I'm really surprised the reaction was that tepid. Now, see, it doesn't have the same impact when somebody else said it before.
Morose.
That the reaction was that mediocre following the demo, because that demo turned a lot of heads.
Well, I mean, it got my attention. I had no interest in the game before the demo.
Yeah.
In fact, it was the object of my ridicule before the demo.
It was.
Yeah.
That's why you were the 2013 Eric Draven Award winner.
Was it because
of Blast Processing? But, no, it's... the feeling that I got playing the demo, pretty much... the few hours I've put into the game thus far, it's pretty much maintained that feel. I really got to say, and I don't want to turn this into a whole, you know, bitching on gaming media shitstorm again, but, like, seriously, guys, where are these complaints of it being bland and having no character come from? You can't say a game has no character when there's mech suits in it.
I kind of agree.
Troopers and, like, helicopters that are called, what is it, Raven Bloodhawks. Right, it's G.I. Joe the video game.
It is, and for that reason alone, it's very kick-ass.
Yeah, and like I'm just so far what I've seen, just the banter between the characters. I mean, maybe a lot of people are ignoring it because they're talking as the action and everything's going down in game, but it's I'm seeing quite a bit of character. I mean, it's pretty shallow. It's nothing. Nothing deeper than what you find in a comic book, but it's you know, it's there.
I'd say it's about as deep as, oh, I don't know, say Gears of War or Uncharted.
Yeah.
Those aren't particularly, you know, they're not exactly Wordsmith Award winners or anything.
Like, I love it, man. You know, how did Raven get their hands on an Enforcer? They probably grabbed some DARPA brain, DARPA big brain and beat the plans out of them. That was you, wasn't it? Don't be ridiculous. I was in the car.
I was waiting in the car.
That's great. And the action in it is... It feels really good. You know, the controls are crisp. The shooting feels... It's got that heaviness I like.
Yep.
Even when you're shooting the crazy sci-fi guns, right? It's still... It's got that feeling I loved from the first Gears of War. You know, everything you do has got that battlefield heaviness to it.
Yeah.
Your guys thunk into cover, you know. When you pull off a stealth kill, you can almost feel them dragging the body over the top of whatever they're hiding behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, the boss fights I've had thus far, I've had a lot of people complain about the boss fights because it's like the tactics you're using through the game with the broken fuse weaponry is... don't apply to the bosses, which are essentially bullet sponges. Guys, that's what boss fights are. It's not supposed to be easy.
And they're not easy.
No, they're not. Well, what have you had thus far? The Enforcer and...
The Leadfoot, I think it's called. The flame thrower.
Leadfire's the Leadfire. Yeah.
But I mean, I've been really enjoying it. I've been having a blast with it.
Who are you playing as?
Mostly as the main the brain fart name, X Raven.
Dalton.
Dalton, yeah.
Big dude.
Yeah. But I've really been enjoying it. I love the look and feel of the game. I think it feels great. I think it looks fantastic. I think the combat mechanics work really well, and I like that there's something that even I found Uncharted was kind of missing. There's feedback when you hit someone.
Yeah,
you know your.
That's also that heaviness, right?
Yeah, and I really one thing I really thought was cool, and I mean it's something simple. It's something that you kind of gloss over, I guess. The facial animations really grabbed me.
Yeah,
the way the characters' faces, like the way their head movements and stuff were animated. It had a very cartoony style, but it didn't look cartoony. You know what I mean? You know, it was almost like you'd be watching an animation, like 90s comic book style almost. You know, like this looks like a game that was designed by Mark Silvestri.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And this is something another, I was going to say, you know, people saying there's no character in the game. I've noticed every time, I think it's Izzy is her name, the redhead, the hacker.
Mm-hmm.
Every time she hacks something, she bites her bottom lip.
Yeah.
And she doesn't do it any other time in the game.
Little stuff. And, like, I like that the first level wasn't 10 minutes long. I like that it took me almost an hour to get through the first level.
Jeez, it was more than an hour.
Yeah. Well, I think it took me about 50, 55 minutes.
Yeah, and it's, it was good stuff, man. Like, that bit when you're fighting your way through the mezzanine and suddenly the helicopters show up.
Oh, it was awesome.
Right, that, yeah.
And then that fight with the Enforcer at the end of it, you know, you're...
Oh, inside, the giant elevator.
Yeah, you're inside this big giant container that's being lifted out of the building by four helicopters, you know? Like, and you're fighting this thing as it flies around and stuff. I thought it was really, really cool.
What I liked about that, too, is that if you're taking too long, more helicopters show up.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been pretty impressed with the game. The only negative I have is I could see that if the levels become more frantic as it goes, I could see the pace just becoming a little bit too relentless and too long.
Yeah.
It'd be more like, you know, like the last level in Uncharted 2 syndrome, you know, where like you're constantly plowing through wave after wave after wave after wave, and I could see that getting kind of frustrating.
Which is why I kind of liked a little bit of sneakiness at the beginning of the second level.
Yeah, yeah, in the prison.
You're under the floor grating, and you can hear the guys having the conversation as you're walking above you.
Yeah. And I hope they do a few more things like that to mix it up. I mean, I don't think there are any vehicles
chasing
that can do anything in it.
Russian Dr. Mindbender around.
But I've been really happy with it. And yeah, like you said, you know, it is basically the most kick-ass G.I. Joe video game ever conceived.
Yeah.
Cool.
You know, I remember IGN, I think it was, said it about Far Cry Blood Dragon. It's like, this is like a G.I. Joe video game if it was actually badass. But I was like, no, it's not. Fuse is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that certain je ne sais quoi that the losers had.
Yeah, yeah.
Just enough testosterone with just enough, this was dreamed up by a 13-year-old.
I will say another actually slightly negative critique I have against it. I've pretty much ignored the existence of the fuse weapons.
Yeah, no, I noted that. I stopped using them when I realized... I jumped through all four characters playing through that first level.
Okay, I've only played as Dalton, and I found the mag shield to be essentially useless.
Yeah, now the others, the problem with the other ones is that they're too useful.
Oh, okay.
Okay, the shatter gun and the warp rifle are game breakers.
Right on.
I mean, the warp rifle, it's an assault rifle, so you got a high rate of fire with it. And when you hit a guy enough that the black hole actually detonates,
yep.
Anyone who's been hit, who's been painted with that gun, will go off in a chain reaction. So, I mean, you can clear rooms full of guys like this, right?
Right on, right on.
And the same with the shatter gun. You know, once the melanite or the crystal, whatever they call it, expands, anyone caught in the blast radius of it pretty much gets frozen.
Right.
Right? And it's just, and I'm playing the game on hard.
Oh, okay. I took the pansy way out and put it on easy, actually.
Yeah.
I started playing on normal, and I was getting my ass handed to me. So I said, you know what, I'm going to...
Well, see, if you're using the fuse guns, you wouldn't be getting your ass handed to you.
And I guess that's the thing. I guess that's the balance, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
But, I mean, the other guns in it are awesome, man.
Yeah.
And they all got super cool, like the Dragonfire, or the
Daybreaker.
Daybreaker, Dragonfly, Predator.
Yeah. Savager.
Yeah.
I was
a Harbinger sniper rifle.
Yeah, I gotta say, I've been really enjoying it. It's a game I think I'm gonna have a lot of fun playing through. And the other thing, like the other positive I gotta add, and what really kind of surprised me in the wake of the reviews, I actually found the AI to be pretty serviceable. You know, like a lot of the reviews said it's a great game if you play a co-op, but if you try to play single player, oh, you know, like that kind of...
And I was getting from a lot of the reviews, man, that there were just a... base ideas that everyone latched onto, but they never really explain it.
Yeah, yeah.
Never.
But I gotta say, I found the AI fine. You know, if I got downed, there was someone there right away to try to resurrect me. And
yeah. I even found him doing it smartly, too. Like,
yeah.
I found I went down, and suddenly Dalton would appear over me and drop the mag shield
yep.
and absorb all the gunfire while one of the other ones healed me.
Yeah, and I mean, that stuff to me, I honestly can't see there being a problem with the AI. And now, unfortunately, the other downside is apparently the game is tanking something sick.
Gross.
Which is,
really?
You know, like, I mean, I gotta say, I hate to say it as much as I hate to say it because I've really enjoyed the game, but we called it.
Yeah.
We did. I mean, when that box art was first released, we said, there's no way this game is going to sell more than 12
copies. It's
going
to teleport right into the bargain bin.
Exactly. And that's where it's going. Apparently, in the UK, it didn't even break the top 20.
Yeah.
That's pretty depressing.
Wow.
You know, Tomb Raider is still in the top 5, I think. But...
yeah. And it's really sad, because this is something, too. Insomniac are a good studio.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't think this was ever a good idea. I mean, you know yourself, even when Overstrike was first shown, I thought, who's going to buy this game?
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's what it all boils down to. I just think, I think the fact that they were doing their market testing and all of this kind of stuff, and it came back saying, people just weren't interested in that comic book Danger Girl scenario kind of thing, so they changed it up to be a more mainstream shooter. And I think that was just too little too late. I just don't, at that point, I don't think anybody really cared.
Yeah. And you can't even, we can't even blame the big bad EA, because, I mean, there was a marketing push behind it.
Yep.
How many friggin' trailers have they dropped?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. I mean,
that demo.
Yeah, they didn't go super mainstream with it, but, I mean, they put a demo out. They put a demo out a month ahead of launch. You know, yeah. Which is a pretty good lead. And, they did their marketing.
Demo, had the demo in with almost like a music video style trailer. And
yeah. Oh, yeah, they went all out. I think the biggest thing is if it had been at, E3 or, if EA had made it a part of their conference last year and stuff like that. Because, what happened with it was it had vanished. I mean, they showed that first that teaser at E3 2 years ago, and then the game just vanished. There was no more mention of it until what?
September 2012, gets unveiled as Fuse.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's just kind of
and not even really unveiled with anything. It's just they say, yeah, and now it's Fuse, and here's a couple screenshots.
Yeah, and even then, it was a bit muddy. People didn't know if it was a downloadable co-op shooter or if it was a retail product, and there was a lot of muddy waters with the game.
What drives me nuts about it is, Insomniac are a good studio.
Yeah,
I think that this is something that. If they could have had a sequel with it,
yeah,
tighten things up a little bit.
Well, Ted Price has basically said that they're going to keep supporting the game no matter what happens. You're going to see extra content, and they said this is far from the end for Fuse, right? And kudos to him, but I think you need to go back to Sony, hat in hand, and say, hey guys, give us a game.
Yeah,
that's not Ratchet and Clank, because I'm pretty sure that was the whole reason they and Sony kind of. Parted ways is because they just didn't want to do Ratchet and Clank sequels,
Yeah.
Ratchet and Clank is awesome.
I'm sure it is, but it's like Bungie with Halo, They got so pissed off with Microsoft because Microsoft basically turned them into the Halo studio. And they're
also you got to look at this is, no matter how much people beg and cry for it, Naughty Dog aren't going back to Jack and Daxter.
No, God, no.
Yeah.
There's a reason that fourth Sly Cooper game wasn't developed by Sucker Punch. They've moved on.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think Insomniac's big thing was Resistance. I mean, that was their, they had Resistance, and Resistance was really their kind of claim to fame.
Yeah.
And I think if they had, I don't say that, they should have gone back and done another first-person shooter and stuff, but, I think if Fuse had been marketed differently and had been conceived, as maybe like a Sony exclusive from the get-go, or even a 360 exclusive, even if it had been hyped as something a bit more unique than it actually is, instead of feeling like, just something else out of the EA grizzle mill,
Yeah.
Even if that's not what it is, that's the perception of it, right?
Yeah, and it's sad, because it is a more than solid shooter. It does some great things. The drop-in, drop-out co-op is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it does some great things, but it doesn't do anything new, I think, is what's unfortunate. And this late in a console cycle, we've had that conversation a million times. Yeah. When you're looking at the last 6 months or year of a console, and let's face it, I mean, everybody knows 10-year plan and yada, 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 but let's face it, as soon as those new machines drop in the fall, nobody's going to care.
No.
And I think that's the thing. I think unless you're really bringing something unique to the table this late in the game, unless you're really a breaker, unless you're really doing something different, the problem is you've had 7 years now of third-person shooters. You've had 7 years of Gears of War, Uncharted, Army of Two, all of these other, third-person gimmicky shooters like Inversion, and it's gotten to the point now that unless you can really differentiate yourself from the norm, you're getting into a situation where a reviewer is going to pick it up and say, wow, I've played this game 30 times in the last 7 years, 6 out of 10,
Yeah.
And that's what it is. I mean, and it's not a fault against the reviewers. It's not a slight. I don't want to be sounding like I'm slapping the reviewer's hand, but I mean, the same thing happened with the PS2 generation. Once the Xbox 360 dropped, everything that got released for the PS2 and the original Xbox was shit.
Yeah.
As far as reviews were concerned.
Like, wow, another JRPG.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, another 3D fighter.
Exactly. Like, how many games in the last real year of PS2, like, okay, after the PS3 launched, how many PS2 games scored more than, like, you know, a 6?
Yeah.
I can think of one, you know? And that's just, it's the unfortunate nature. I think Fuse kind of got caught in that a bit. I think it's just a game that's behind the times. I think if it had come out 2 years ago, it would have been phenomenal.
Yeah. It would have gotten the same kind of pleasing reviews that Vanquish got.
Yeah, exactly. So what's your
and it would have sold,
if you were
it was, and it would have sold about as well as Vanquish did, which is about as well as Fuse is doing right now.
Okay, so I had an idea.
Yeah? I had a thought.
I had a boggle, a little brain fart. I think we should at the end of our reviews we should just stick a little percentile score on there.
No.
No?
No.
No?
No, numbers are evil.
Okay, well...
I'm using my right to veto.
How many...
I'm part of this security council, and do not use the blast meter, because it took me 2 years to get that off my newspaper article. How many zaps out of 5 is it, John? I couldn't look at my work when I saw the little animated zap, or the little hand-drawn zap-o-meter they had, but I was like,
so how many degrees Celsius is it, John?
Fuse?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so hot. we should just like come up with like a movie code name or something for it. What is it, John? It's Point Break.
Okay, there we go. Yes, perfect. I like it. Kev?
Okay. This game succeeds so bad it's like acid in my mouth.
Now, I've only played the demo, but boy, did I like it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that it is a... It's a Tom Baker.
Okay.
For me?
For you, it's Tom Baker? For
yeah.
John, it's a Point Break? For me...
Now Steve's got to come up with a 90s grunge band.
For me,
It's Temple of the Dog.
Oh, you bastard. No, I wasn't thinking Temple of the Dog. For me, it's about a Mad Season.
I don't even know who those guys are.
Alice in Chains and Pearl Jam. Members of both.
Which one's saying?
Lane Staley.
Boom! There you go. Sorry, you know my opinion on Lane Staley.
Oh, I know.
Fantastic vocalist.
I guess it's time for the news!
Jeez, Kevin, why didn't you stop him?
Because I'm not there.
I've been drinking. I can't. You're suffering from hypothermia.
I'm over halfway through a bottle of wine since we started this podcast. So
really, oh, nice. What type of wine?
Cranapple Chardonnay. It's kind of tasty.
I got nothing.
And I'm not even drinking it out of a glass. I'm just drinking it out of the bottle.
Oh man, but
that's how I roll.
Oh, Kev, that's what I do at parties, man. It's like hobo drinking.
No, there's no paper bag around it.
I gotta get
some. Dude, next time we have a get together, I gotta get a paper bag around my bottle. John Murphy's bottles better be wearing Jimmy's.
So okay, the big news, the really big news, today, this evening actually, Microsoft unleashed through Xbox Wire, which is like their, you know,
their EB line.
Yeah, kind of their EB line slash their, you know, their news for fans of Xbox and such and such and such, released this little multi-page, almost like a PDF in digital form, I guess, you know, like information about the three biggest bones of contention with the Xbox One. The big one, the one that we really latched onto, or that I really latched onto, is how games licensing works on Xbox One. To be brief, you know, a lot of the stuff hasn't changed from the current generation. Buy it the way you want, disc or digital on the same day, which Sony and Microsoft have been doing now for about a year, year and a half on PS3, Xbox 360. No discs required. You access your entire games library from any Xbox One. Everything is like tied into your own account, similar to like an iTunes purchase or whatever. You know, it's tied into your own login. When you buy a new disc, you put the disc in your system. It's verified in the Xbox Live service, installed to your hard drive. Off you go.
So you never have used the disc again?
You take the disc out, you put it on a shelf, and off you go. Your purchases are all stored on your hard drive. The benefits of this, of course, you can log into a friend's system from anywhere. You know, you can go over to your buddy's house, log in under your account, look through your entire games library, play whatever the hell you want. Which is pretty freaking cool, I gotta say. The downside, the big downside, these are Blu-ray discs. So you're looking at, we'll throw out a mean average there, 15 to 25 gigabytes per game. Okay?
Yep.
This is a 500 gigabyte non-swappable hard drive.
Oh boy.
Do the math.
Yeah, 500 gigs sounds like a lot.
Until you start slapping.
I can remember 10 years ago when a gig sounded like a lot.
Yeah, and also remember that some Blu-ray discs can be as high as 50 gigs worth of data.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're looking at, we'll say 20 games max installed on the system at any given time.
How long are the installs going to take, too?
Now, the benefit of that, the way the installs are working, they've got a sub-processor that handles all the installing in the background. So basically, the PS4 was the first to confirm like that they're set up this way. I can only assume the Xbox One is similar because the architecture is so similar. But basically, the way Gorilla described it was the game disc, when you put the disc in for the first time, it will essentially install your opening menus and the first level of the game onto your hard drive. And then as you're playing, everything else is done in the background. It's all done as you play. There's a separate processor dedicated to just game installs, patches, updates, and all that stuff. And it all does it on the fly while you're active. So there's no worry about, oh, sorry, you just reached level 3, but we can't let you play it yet because you got to wait a half hour for it to install. So all this stuff like what happened with MGS4.
Watch Solid Snake smoke cigarettes
for 15 fucking minutes. No.
Here's Nathan Drake eating a sandwich.
So yeah, basically the installs are there. It's full installs. Again, no idea how it's going to work with PS4, but this is how Xbox One is handling it. The no disc required thing, that intrigues me because I like the idea of going out to Kev's place and saying, hey Kev, look, I just bought Halo 17. Check it out, man. I'll log into my account.
Yeah, that's the question I have, actually, because do you then have to install a certain amount of that game onto my machine?
Basically, the way it works, it'll be like looking through your purchases on an iTunes list. So, you know, like if I log into my account, I go into my games library, and all my games are listed there. Everything I own is listed. And so if I want to play Halo 17, I click on the Halo 17 box art, I can only assume, or a little thumbnail, and it starts to install. Once the minimal percentage is done for me to be able to play, we go on in. So, and I mean, you're probably looking at 5 minutes installs. You know, like, I don't think it's going to be anything outlandish. I really don't. Now, that's only conjecture on my part, but I really don't think it's going to be anything outlandish.
Right.
So I think that's pretty cool. Share access to your games with everyone inside your home. So your friends and family, your guests and acquaintances get unlimited access to all of your games. Anyone can play your games on your console, whether you're logged in or not.
Isn't there, like, that's a limit of 10?
There is a limit of 10, but that is more, it has to do with different consoles in the same household. It has to do with...
I see.
So, like sub-accounts, basically, right?
Okay.
Friends and family accounts. But the way it works, everybody on your console can play, like any accounts on your console will be able to play your games.
Okay, cool.
So, you know, there you go. That's pretty cool. Again, you know, something that is normal, like it's pretty much assumed, but still, you know, it's pretty cool. Give your family access to your entire games library anytime, anywhere. Xbox One enables new forms of access for families. Up to 10 members of your family can log in and play from your shared games library on any Xbox One.
Right.
Now, the benefit there, apparently, is they've had to have been on your friends list or either created like as a sub-account to you. So like basically like how I had Abby created as a sub-account of my Xbox Live ID, right? It works like that, or basically they have to have been on your friends list for over 30 days, which is perfectly reasonable. Perfectly reasonable. You know, like, I think that's still pretty awesome. So, I mean, you know, if I have you, Kev, for example, or John, listed as a friend or family, you can log into my library.
Right.
You know, which is cool, which is pretty cool. Trade in and resell your disc-based games. This is the big one. This is the bombshell. Old disc-based games, trade-ins are fine. New purchases, no fees.
I understand, they're leaving it up to the publishers. They're kind of passing the buck on that one, it sounds, actually.
They are allowing publishers to pick yes or no, which, I mean, right. is better than nothing. You know, to me, that's better than yes. them enforcing it. If EA wants to do it, fuck them. You know? That kind yeah. of thing, right? Like, basically, this is Microsoft's... I think what it is, I think basically when they came out with this press conference and then the news afterwards about the used games and stuff, I think basically what's been going on is the developers like Sony, Microsoft have been getting bull rushed by the publishers.
Yeah.
I think this is what's been happening. Publishers have just been basically ganging up on them saying, we want to do something about this used game thing. We want to do something about used games. We want to do something about used games. And Microsoft's initial solution just blew up in their face so badly that they said, you know what? Fuck it. We've had the most successful system in this generation. If you want to put games in our system, you can be the bad guy. You can decide, because we're not going to take your shit for you.
Yeah.
And kudos to them for that. I got to say, my hat's off.
I can only assume there was a board meeting last week where someone said, guys, we fucked up.
We are getting crucified in the gaming press.
Yeah.
You know, and...
No, I was going to say, the word I was going to choose was reamed.
Yeah, reamed is a good word.
We're getting cornholed.
Bent over a desk with a handful of sand. You know, it's just not a good scene.
Do they grade sand?
Of course. And I think what happened there basically is one of the reported ideas that was floating around after this initial hullabaloo was that used games would be blacklisted. So like when you traded in a used game... I'm not sure if it would be something that would be done.
It got kicked out of Hollywood.
Yeah, on the store level, like I don't know if it's something that the used game store would have to do, or if it was something automatic, like when that disc was inserted in another system, the license was automatically canceled from your account and renewed to theirs.
Right.
Which make either solution makes perfect sense to me. I could see it being more the disc based solution. You know, like someone else pops the disc in their machine. When it goes online to authenticate, it recognizes that it's already been authenticated, cancels the old code, and issues a new one. Yeah. That's my hunch. And if that's the case, the only thing you've really got to watch out for is, of course, taking a disc to a friend's house and accidentally being logged in as them when you put the disc in.
Yeah. Yes, because that's something they've also said that they don't have a solution yet for lending games.
No, and I think that's...
Wait, if that happens, though, guys, I think the solution is just as simple as when you get back to your house... putting the disc back in your system.
But see, there's the catch. It blacklists the code on your live account.
Oh.
So.
Yeah. Games can only be sold once, I think.
Yeah, once they're sold, they're sold. Once that license is transferred, it's transferred. So, I mean, basically, for you to play that game again, you've got to buy another copy. Which makes perfect sense. I mean, that's essentially the way it is now. It's just they've got a piece of software on the back end that's enforcing it, you know? And the last thing is... you can give games to your friends. It's designed so game publishers can enable you to give your disc-based games to your friends. There are no fees charged. There are two requirements. You can only give them to people who have been on your friends list for at least 30 days, and each game can only be given once. So there you go. It's basically the same as the trade-in and resell. It's like, instead of loaning, I say, here, Kev, here's my copy of Halo 17.
I'm never going to play it again.
I'm done with this fucking game. Take it and get it out of my sight. And I assume this is what it is. I assume it's basically a situation where you put the disc in, the license is renewed on a new console, your license is canceled.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah. So there you go. There you have the games licensing and whatnot.
Yeah.
15 minutes later, that's our first news story.
That's because you guys have been drinking.
That's totally good, Jeff.
My bed has come up by.
Cranberry Chardonnay, that's the voice of jealousy I hear.
It is.
Well, it was a big deal. It was a big deal.
No, it was. And actually, I'm kind of glad to see it because, you know, contrary to popular belief, I don't think we want to see Microsoft fail.
I don't want to see anybody fail.
No.
I would rather enjoy
I don't
all
wanna,
of
I don't, I don't want to see a one-party system.
No.
I want to see Nintendo come out punching. Steve wants to see Nintendo fail.
I don't even want to see him fail. I just want to see him give me something that I
Nintendo,
want.
He wants to see Nintendo get the taste slapped so badly out of their mouth that they wake the fuck up.
Yeah.
Remember who they are.
I think any of you who did hit the link on our Facebook page and watched last week's Final Bossman, courtesy of GameTrailers.com, I think he nailed Nintendo as a company. I think he hit it dead center, square on the head. As
actually, it was kind of the same as what we were saying, but I think our metaphor was standing on a unicycle.
Yeah, well, no, it was like a grizzly bear standing on a unicycle playing a trombone and just saying, "Hey, everybody, look at me."
No, you know what he should have been saying?
What's that? But yeah, anyway, no, I don't want to see Nintendo fail because I own a Wii U. I want to see games that I want to play. That's what I want. I'm looking forward to Deus Ex.
And more than two of them a year.
Yeah, that'd be all right, too. Anyway, moving on. Who's next?
Ooh, me.
You.
Okay, so the veil's been lifted off a huge mystery. Solid Snake has a voice. And that voice is the instantly recognizable gravelly tone of Kiefer Sutherland. David Hayter, the former Solid Snake, has tweeted a bitchy comment about Konami. Fans have erupted in rage, and we can neither confirm nor deny if Snake will punch the dashboard in a speeding car and shout, "Damn it!"
If that doesn't,
I'll tell you one thing, man. He's gonna kick the shit out of a doorframe in this game.
Oh, Kiefer.
You know what? I don't care. I think it's cool. I don't think it's any more lame than Michael Ironside as Sam Fisher.
No, you know, but see, the problem is, it's not about being cool or lame. This was an iconic role.
Yeah.
You know, this was more iconic than, like, Sam Fisher, for all intents and purposes, was an empty suit. Sam Fisher was like, he didn't have a great character, you know, like, he had some events that happened.
Not until they took his daughter away from him.
Oh, even then. I mean, Fisher was never... Like, I mean, he had some cool moments and stuff, but, I mean, comparing him to Solid Snake or someone like Nathan Drake or Altair or Ezio Auditore, you know, like, he's hardly the iconic character. He's more like a Gabe Logan.
Yeah.
You know? And changing his voice actor, like, I mean, it didn't even register to me other than the fact that, like, hey, it's not Michael Ironside anymore. But taking Snake's voice away and replacing it with just a Hollywood celebrity?
Yeah, that's like Snake. That's like replacing the voice of Mario. I mean, come on, right? It's-a me, Mario! You can't do it, right?
It's not like replacing Mario's voice. It's like replacing Mario's voice with a celebrity. Ladies and gentlemen, Jamie Kennedy as Mario.
Jamie Kennedy's not a celebrity.
He's about on the same fame level as Kiefer, isn't he?
No. No, he's not.
No? Okay, fair enough.
I don't see Jamie Kennedy having 8 seasons in a movie.
you're just high on Kiefer because of Lost Boys, admit it, Jeff.
He was pretty deadly in that.
I totally am. Initiation's over, Michael. Initiation's over, Otacon. Time to join the club.
How many times does he say Michael in that?
My whole thing, though, is, and listen, I love David Hayter as Snake. I love David Hayter as Snake, but let's not kid ourselves. It's essentially a Steve Bloom impersonation.
Oh, my God.
Which is essentially a Clint Eastwood impersonation.
But he was around before, right? Steve Bloom. Hayter's been around since, what, 97? No, 98. So around the same time.
No, wait a second. Did he use that voice in The Giver? Was he an 18-year-old smoking cigarettes and drinking whiskey?
I'm not sure. I can't remember that movie at all.
That's probably a good thing.
I've seen it, but I don't remember it.
Was his bitchy comment funny? I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it was pretty hilarious, actually. Okay. Oh, God, what was it? It was something good. And it wasn't even bitchy. It was just kind of like... He said something offhanded, you know, and I think the fans kind of turned it into something huge, and then his response to that was getting fired was never so heartwarming.
Yeah.
what was it? I got it right here. Can't fault real Kiefer. Great actor, good man. The game will probably still be excellent. Like New Coke.
Oh...
Why does everyone hate New Coke?
So that was his comment, and then of course fans went ballistic, and his response to that was update to my beloved tweeps. I can't thank you enough for all your support. Getting fired was never so heartwarming. You all rock. So yeah, I guess he is a little sour. I mean, based on the article with IGN, like when he did the little interview with IGN about it, he sounded pretty dirty then too. So,
yeah.
And I can't say I blame him so much, but you know, the professional thing to do would just be like, good luck to him and move on. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Oh, well. Moving on. like that segue?
Come segue.
Oh, you did it this time. Breaking out the sticks. Okay. So Sony is coming out punching. Has announced PlanetSide 2, DC Universe Online, and the Digital Extremes developed Warframe coming to PS4 as early as launch and free to play.
I caught the trailer for Warframe. This is the game I was talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the trailer on, I believe it was on, it might have been from Kotaku or one of the sites. And the tagline on the trailer was Warframe, ninjas play for free.
Nice.
So I immediately downloaded the PC open beta. And played a few rounds of it. It's freaking awesome.
Sweet.
It is one of the most unique like concepts that I have ever seen. You're just this bunch of ninjas woken from hypersleep from some remote part of the galaxy somewhere who teleport back into Mercury is where it starts. And you're fighting this crazy race of like cyborgs with elderly man faces. And you've got your sword, a handgun, and an assault rifle. You're a group of cyborgs called Tenno, T-E-N-N-O. And this is what you are. You're ninjas. You're space ninjas.
Cool. I'm down.
I'm down with that, too.
Third person.
I've got a nerd boner you can't even imagine right now.
And it's the guys who developed Dark Sector.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm into that.
I got to say, man, I loved the few rounds of it I played. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Free to play on PS4, and it's, you know, it's a third-person shooter, so it's got a bit of that, like, you know, Gears of War slash Uncharted vibe. I don't think there's lock to cover, though.
Okay.
And it's got, like, a level-based system and stuff. But instead of being, you know, multiplayer competitive, it's almost like Diablo. You know, you get four guys dumped into, like, the corridors of, like, a derelict installation or a spaceship, and you just have these guys coming at you from corridors and stuff everywhere, and you're just mowing through them.
Right.
It was really cool. Really, really cool.
Cool. Nice. Well, I'm excited about all that, hopefully coming at launch.
Yeah. Well, Warframe has been confirmed, I think, for launch.
Okay.
And Digital Extremes were, like, super-duper happy with the support that Sony gave them in getting it over to their system and stuff. So, you know, hey, kudos.
Great.
PlanetSide 2 I've played, too. PlanetSide 2 is awesome. Really, really good. I've played
DC Universe Online. It's an MMO.
But it's a free to play MMO now.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
And you can meet Batman, and he tells you he's Batman.
I'm Batman. I've heard mixed. I've heard some people say it's actually pretty good because it's not as heavy structured as some of the other MMOs.
Yeah,
it's easier to just kind of pick up and play in chunks.
Yeah. My characters were too cool for DC, though.
You were more like Marvel characters in a DC universe? Oh! Yeah.
Weird beard and the Master Burner.
Master Burner.
I bought like 4 Batman graphic novels today.
Oh, God.
How many video games did you buy today, Kevin?
There were too many to choose from. I'm going to buy one the next day or two.
Okay. I bought a turntable today.
Hmm? You what?
I bought a turntable today.
Excellent.
Like a real record player now, not like a DJ turntable, but a record player.
Really? You going to buy some records and put on your hipster sunglasses?
I probably will. And my big giant headphones with like that coily cord.
Actually, I'm jealous. I'd like to have one. Because I've got records.
And the thing that plugs into the record player is like, look, is as big as the spike that RoboCop used to stab people with. The jack on the end of the headphones.
Anyway, speaking of retro... Segway?
That would have been better coming from Kevin. Old hat.
Fable Anniversary Edition was announced for Xbox 360. Essentially a HD remake of the original Fable and the Lost Levels, which personally I still consider to be the best game in the series.
My wife loves Fable, will not touch Fable 2 or 3.
Really?
So, and we can't, my original Xbox doesn't seem to want to work on my big TV. We never did get a copy of Fable. I can't find a copy of Fable, so I'm very excited.
I've got
a Christmas gift that will make me hero of the year.
I still fire up the original Fable every now and again on the 360 because it did look pretty good when you upscaled it and stuff like that. It looked pretty nice. It actually looked a little nicer than Fable 2, to be honest. Now, Fable 3 is gorgeous. Fable 3 is a really pretty game. But I'm really excited to get my hands on this, actually. And it was a cool little teaser, you know. They just had a shot of Jack of Blades, the only really, really awesome villain for the series, you know. And I'm really excited. And apparently Larry thinks he's the only person who's excited for it. But, you know, I'm excited. John's excited. Kev, I'm sure you would be excited if you had.
Larry was like 12 years old when Fable came out.
Yeah, really.
I remember playing a bit of Fable back in the day. And I remember buying it for PC because, you know, I'm not an Xbox guy.
Yeah.
And I was really excited to play through it on PC, and then I left it in another province in a hotel by accident.
Aww.
And never did rebuy it.
Aww.
I can remember
Russell played through Fable.
Yeah, I can remember, in one of your old apartments, the, watching the difference between yours and Sarah's character, you know, Sarah's character, wherever she stepped, like, fissures opened in the earth beneath her, and evil started pumping out and corrupting the land. And wherever you walked, there was, like, golden rays of sunlight and butterflies and everything.
And I had the big, heavy, golden-looking armor with the giant sword, and she was all, like, in black robes with horns coming out of her head and stuff.
Yeah. And I can also remember, like, the absolutely disgustingly sickening wet crunch when you ate a chicken in it. And you eat one of the baby chicks for health, and it's like, oh, that's wrong.
I love Fable. I mean, I played a lot
And I also remember the word Balverine, because I love that word.
Oh, the Balverines.
The way they pronounce it, the way they say it, Balverine.
Yeah, Sarah actually finished that game before I did. She was really hooked on it.
Yeah, I remember that.
I also remember Jack of Blades being a bitch to kill.
He was awesome, actually. That fight was fantastic. Never
that's
did finish
thinking
Lost
about like a, kind of like a Harlequin with two rapiers.
Yep. Yeah, that's him. I never did finish Lost Levels, so I never did get to fight the dragon. But, you know.
Lost Levels?
Yeah.
Lost Chapter, wasn't it?
Fable.
Lost Levels was the shitty Mario 2.
That's right, the Lost Chapter, sorry. Yeah. The Lost Chapter, yeah, but
that doesn't sound classy enough for Fable.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait.
Cool.
Xbox 360, this fall.
Dead. You know what I couldn't wait to happen, and finally happened this week?
Segway.
How do you pronounce this? Zynga?
Zynga?
I don't know how to pronounce it, because I don't
Zynga?
Care.
Zynga.
Zynga has shuttered its studios, laid off everybody, but apparently are not dead yet. Do we care?
Not dead yet.
I still function.
They've actually shuttered OMG Pop, the guys that they bought to get to draw something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who they shuttered. And they laid off something like 500 and something workers.
Yeah, I know they shuttered like three other studios as well. Like they shuttered like Zynga New York, Zynga Los Angeles, and Zynga something else.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, when they realized that their business model couldn't last 3 weeks.
Yeah, right. When they realized that ripping off other games only entertains people for so long.
Yeah. Now I'm on like turn probably 1100 in a draw something game. anybody out there who is playing draw something and is like, ooh, can't wait to get to 1000. No, you can never get to 1000. It tops at 999.
Oh.
Stops there, which is a pain in the ass.
And then like just starts over?
No, it just stops there at 999. It stops counting.
Okay, but the turns keep going.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was
it
expecting like,
immortality.
I want to see fireworks. I want to see, you know, everything.
See, nope. Even OMG Pop thought, there's no fucking way in hell anybody is going to stick with this game long enough to get 1,000 turns.
But at turn 999, Kevin's game of Draw Something got stabbed in the heart by the Kurgan and was reborn as an immortal. And now that game lurches on until the time of the gathering.
Well, there's a sequel now, right?
Really?
There's a Draw Something 2 that has additional brushes and a whole bunch of different stuff in it.
That sounds a little too complex.
I know.
That doesn't really sound like what was so appealing about Draw Something. Was it?
And you can, like, there are ways to, like, share your photos built into the game.
That just sounds like way too much.
Yeah. I'm afraid to start it because I figured it'll screw up my first one.
What's next?
Who's next? Me. Square Enix has announced Deus Ex The Fall. Sweet! Oh, wait. It's for iOS and Android. What the hell?
That was my response.
Did you ask for that, Steve?
No. I didn't ask for this. That was the first thing I saw.
I mean, I play a lot of iOS games that I'm not allowed to talk about here on Blast Processing.
Sure you are.
We'll just mock you, but you can talk about them.
I downloaded a really awesome iOS game last week, actually.
Are you talking about something I would have talked about had I been allowed?
I don't know.
Warhammer Quest?
I haven't played that yet.
Oh, it's good.
I have, however, played Knights of the Old Republic.
Ah, yes. That's good.
It's very good.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I hope Deus Ex The Fall is going to be good, because I know I'll be getting it, and you guys will probably get it.
I will definitely have it, because I loved Human Revolution.
Yeah, me too, man.
And I gotta say, I saw a little gameplay video earlier this evening. It was only brief.
Right.
But it looked pretty cool.
Okay.
It looked like Human Revolution.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Now, that could be anything. It might end up being a stupid little shooting gallery like Metal Gear Touch. Anybody remember that one?
No. I mean, if it plays like the Dead Space iOS game, I'd be happy.
Yeah, and likewise with me, you know. But it looks a lot like Deus Ex. Like, it looks like it has the first person and third person elements and stuff.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to trying it. But I just, boys, why couldn't we have a console sequel?
Yeah.
Really? Like.
Because it only sold 6 million copies, not 7.
Oh, goddamn you, Square Enix. Anyway, you know who doesn't care how many copies of a game they sell? Blizzard.
Who's that?
Blizzard doesn't care.
They got nothing to worry about.
And Diablo 3 is coming September 3rd for PlayStation 3.
Hmm.
And, surprise! Also Xbox 360.
Well now.
That came out of nowhere. I kind of expected it, I guess, but I was thinking it was going to be more of a Diablo 3 will be out for PS3 and PS4, and then maybe next year Xbox One. You know, like that's right. Kind of what I expected. But right. I'm kind of happy that it is getting a simultaneous launch. I'm kind of happy that, you know, September 3rd, PS3 and 360 gamers will be able to play it.
Yeah,
and Blizzard will be even more flush with cash.
Yes, and there is still the PS4 version, which supposedly, possibly, will be a launch title. But I guess we won't know anything more about that till
E3. Right. Cool. I'll probably pick that up actually.
I definitely will. I bought it immediately on PC. I did our crazy unboxing video, the beautiful collector's edition.
Yeah.
I promptly played about 3 hours of it and didn't touch it again. But, you know, it's me with PC games, man. PC for me is, I loved it. I thought it was a great game. I loved what I played of it. But it's not on a console. And Diablo in particular, I have memories of Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance.
Yeah.
Champions of Norrath, and like actually controlling the characters, moving them around, using buttons to attack and stuff, instead of pointing and clicking and just going click, 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 click. Like, to me, that lends itself better to a game than just a click fest.
Yeah, and if we can play a multiplayer, man, that'd be...
It's drop in, drop out, right?
Sweet.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's going to be fantastic. I really do.
Just make sure you buy it on PS3, will you?
Oh, I will. I'll buy it on PS3 and PS4, probably. No, me. I have an illness, remember?
That's right. That's true. You bought a Wii U.
Mm. God damn it. And you know what? In spite of all the shit I talk, and in spite of how disappointed I am with the lineup for that system, I wouldn't part with it.
That's good. You've been drinking, man. Come on.
I'm pretty much done this bottle of wine right now.
After this, I'm going to go play Monster Hunter. Oh, this controller weighs 30 pounds.
Oh, I'll probably go play some more something else that I'll talk about later.
Nice. So, now, as for games I'm going to be buying in the fall, Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2 has been confirmed for this winter.
Yay.
And features a huge modern open world. I still don't know how I feel about that, because that was a bit of a shock to me.
Yeah, I'm still really not pleased with the direction they took the series in with the ending of their first Lords of Shadow, because I loved Lords of Shadow. I mean, loved that game until the ending.
Yeah.
You know, when it's like, oh, now they call me Dracula. Oh, God, why did you do that? Why?
My whole thing is, okay, you had the last boss was Lucifer.
Yep.
And so you could have had Dracula in there. Jason Isaacs was right there.
Yep. And you could have even had, like, something, even if they had had something cool, like had Patrick Stewart wind up being Dracula or something, that would have been fucking awesome for me. You know, you still would have had
Belmont. It felt cheap, like a Joss Whedon written death scene.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
To say, oh, but now you're leader of the Belmont clan is Dracula.
Yeah, and
that doesn't work.
I also I'm not sure how I feel about Castlevania in modern time. I mean, I hate it, and I'm talking a hatred that boiled like the heat of a thousand suns, that goddamn fucking DS series.
Oh, Dinosauro.
Yeah, future Castlevania. Future one, yeah, like I hated that series.
What I didn't get about it is like it was like, hey, it's Castlevania in the future, and outside of the outside of the castle, once you get inside the castle, it's just Symphony of the for the Night.
Yeah, and this seems to be kind of going the same route. You get the big castle that you can explore, which feels, you know, suitably Castlevania-ish.
Yeah.
And when you actually venture out into the open world, it's modern day.
Yeah.
And
I still don't know, man, because they showed off that awesome trailer, which featured pretty much all, you know, 1500-style Castlevania stuff, and I'm hoping some of that is in the game.
Have you seen the new trailer, the one that came out today?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, go watch that.
I'll still get excited, man.
Yeah,
if there's lips and vampires involved, I will still be excited.
I can't say it was terrible. It wasn't. Like, I mean, that'd be a lie. But I'm just kind of, I'll call it guarded optimism. I don't want to be too enthusiastic because I don't want to be disappointed. But at the same time, I am intrigued. That's the best way I can describe
it. Here's a question: did they confirm if it was Alucard or not?
Yeah, pretty much. Like no different than the first one, but yeah, it is.
Okay. You know, because all I saw was just a giant albino man with a flaming sword, and I said, okay, that's totally Alucard.
But, you know, it doesn't look horrible. It doesn't look amazing. It just, it looks...
I'm just ecstatic that in 2013, we still live in a world where Castlevania can be a major release.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But you know something I almost hate to say this, I really do, but that's, I think, where the biggest problem, like, that's where my big bad vibes are coming from. To me, it doesn't really feel like a major release. It feels like a niche title. You know, like the trailer and stuff, like the vibe I get from the trailer feels more like, you know, one of these second tier, like Curse of Darkness was on PS2 and Xbox.
Well, see, that sucks because Lords of Shadow was a major release.
Oh, Lords of Shadow was incredible, absolutely incredible, and that's I think part of my disappointment. I think part of it, like, I don't get that same vibe from this game. I get more of a bit more of a standard, you know, late EGA period Castlevania vibe, you know. And I could be mistaken. I mean, you know, maybe I'm just off base, but this is the observations I make with it. You know, this is what I'm drawing from it. I just can't seem to garner a whole lot of excitement for it because it doesn't seem to have that same presentation and polish that the first one did. It seems to be more of an afterthought. It seems to be more like, well, that first game was awesome, now what? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess that's it. That's all I got to say about it.
Hmm. It'll probably be better than Dante's Inferno.
Hey.
I kind of liked Dante's Inferno.
I kind of did, too.
I was hoping to see more. I digged that type of...
You people make me sick.
I liked it more than Devil May Cry 4.
I like that mythos. That mythos.
Yeah, Devil May Cry 4 sucked, though.
It did.
I thought you were going to say I liked it more than the new Devil May Cry, and then I was going to get in my car, drive out to Mount Pearl, and uncork the ass beating of a lifetime.
No, I actually quite dug what I played in the new Devil May Cry. I'm just waiting for a price drop to snag that one.
You're killing this games industry.
I mean, Ninja Theory, I would have bought it outright out of principle. Hey, I bought Enslaved at full price, and then like less than a month after it came out, it was like $20, okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, don't talk to me, Ninja Theory, about waiting for Devil May Cry to price drop. But it's a Capcom game, so it probably won't price drop for a year. Yeah. Bastards.
No, though, you'll get now later this year a $39.99 edition that comes with a
bunch of DLC.
With Virgil's Downfall.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I got for free.
Hey! You had a season pass or something?
No, it was the pre-order bonus.
Oh, okay, cool.
I got, when I pre-ordered it, I got a, oh god, I forget where I had mine pre-ordered, because I got, all the different stores had different skins for Dante's weapons.
Yeah.
And the ones I got gave turned it all into samurai-looking stuff.
Oh, okay, cool.
Like, he's got a big katana blade and a turns a gun into a, like a crossbow looking thing. And it looks really cool, but then the other pre-order bonus was early access and free access to Virgil's Downfall.
Which I heard was pretty good.
It's not bad. It's a nice little 4-hour epilogue.
Okay.
Right, and I mean, you don't need it, right? No. The game's got an ending, but it's just kind of like, oh, well, here, have some more.
Cool.
It's kind of more like, you know, the next Devil May Cry, Virgil's going to be the big bad, so here, we'll show you a bit more of his descent into cartoonish supervillainy.
Which kind of mirrors Castlevania, I guess, to an extent.
Yeah.
I guess that's it for news.
I hope his grandson, Simon Belmont, shows up to just smack some sense into
out of him.
Yeah.
That'd be hilarious if halfway through the game he'd switch gears and start playing as Richter. That would be amazing, actually.
Oh, so who is your favorite Belmont?
Richter kind of had the most story, although I loved... Gabriel was cool. Gabriel was really cool. And
The guy from Lament of Innocence?
Gabriel was Lords of Shadow, wasn't he?
Oh, Lords of Shadow, yeah. No, yeah. Yes, he was.
Yeah, and the guy from Lament of Innocence... he was supposed to be the first Belmont, according to Iga.
Yeah.
But
Lords of Shadow is a total relaunch.
Yeah,
right?
Reboot, yeah. Crap, what was his name? Oh, but he was awesome. He was really cool.
Yeah.
The Templar. He was a Templar Knight or whatever and all of that stuff. And he just had a cool story.
Yeah. Out of the look of them,
definitely Gabriel.
No, I honestly loved the rebooted artwork for Richter when they gave him the kind of like pirate long coat and everything.
Oh, from Dracula X.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was cool. I really liked Trevor in Curse of Darkness.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome too.
Yeah,
when he had the big scar across his face and that.
Yeah, and he had like the black robe, like almost looked like a priest's robe.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked really fucking cool.
I'm just hoping, you know, we can eventually get Simon Belmont, who doesn't wear furred shorts.
Hey, Castlevania 4, he wore, like, the Roman armor. He wore, like,
yes,
the
he did too.
Roman epaulette. He looked really cool.
So, yeah, I'm hoping, like, a proper Belmont shows up now and beats 8 cans of shark shit out of...
remember that. That's good.
Yeah, that is good. I like that one, too. So I guess that's it for news, huh?
Yeah.
That's our news.
That's all right. Okay.
So, now finally, you've been playing something.
I have been playing something. I've been playing a few things, actually. Like, well, Warframe, which I talked about earlier, and Grid 2, which I'm sure I'll get to probably next episode or the episode after.
And you said KOTOR for...
KOTOR for iOS, yeah, which was great. Yeah. But
it's KOTOR, is it?
Well, yeah, it's Knights of the Old Republic. The touch controls take a little bit of getting used to, especially where I played so much
KOTOR. But there's no hiccups or anything in it, is there?
Oh, no, it's great. It's okay. Really good, and it looks fantastic. I mean, on the smaller screen, like on the iPad 2 screen, it looks awesome.
Well, and if this is a way for more people, like a newer generation of gamers, to discover discover why we hold BioWare in such high regard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was great. Yeah. I've been playing, it's a game that kind of made a little bit of a splash. I think it was at Capcom's...
Captivate
event, yeah. But before that, it had been shown before that, before Capcom had picked up the rights to it, I believe.
It might have been at a GDC conference.
I think it was GDC. They showed the first trailer, and then it was within a few days. It was like 24 to 48 hours after that Capcom was announced as a publisher. Don't Nod Entertainment, who consists of a few guys from Criterion, Ubisoft Paris, a bunch of really like veteran developers, did release their debut game this week. It's a little science fiction thriller called Remember Me. You play as a character named Nilne, who's like this French memory thief in a kind of dystopic slash utopian cyberpunk future Paris. She's this memory hunter who goes around using this technology that they basically use, almost kind of similar to Strange Days. Everybody shares memories and that sort of thing, and you know, people get off on reliving other people's memories and yada, yada, yada. Anyway, she's a memory thief. She goes around stealing memories, but she also possesses the rather unique talents of being able to what they call remix memories. So she could get into someone else's head, change, alter their memories in certain little ways that changes their perception without them really detecting it.
you start the game off, she's being mind wiped, and you're basically set loose on Neo Paris with amnesia and working for a group of terrorists, activists, revolutionaries called, and this part's kind of lame, called Errorists.
And there's the Capcom touch.
Yeah, and there's the Capcom touch. But anyway, the game is, you know, it's for all intents and purposes, it's an action-adventure title. It's the combat is all melee-based. It's primarily melee-based combat. But you do get these really cool little memory remix sequences mixed in there that where you go in and you alter people's memories. I've only done one so far, but man, was it ever awesome.
I think there's only actually a handful of them in the
game. I heard four to five. Four or five.
Which is kind of cool, because they're kind of like little boss fights.
Yeah, and... Right. On top of that, you've got a melee system that's kind of part, you know, Batman Arkham Asylum, part enslaved, and entirely customizable. You can go into what's called the Combo Lab, and you actually unlock, as you gain points through melee combat, you unlock additional, essentially additional buttons, like additional presses, a square, triangle, you know, that kind of thing, and you can build your own custom combos, which in and of itself sounds pretty simplistic, but what's really, really cool, and what I thought was actually pretty brilliant, is when you're building the combos, you have basically 3 to 4 different criteria that you can pick from. So one might be a power attack, which adds to your attack power, or you might have a regenerative button push that basically, when you add this one into a combo, it regenerates some of your health. Or you may have one that takes away from the cooldown timer for your what's called your super pressin' or your S pressin', which is like a special attack. And as you mix them all together, like so, like for example, last night I chained together a 5-hit combo that was essentially like, you know, like square triangle, square triangle, square triangle, whatever. And you have to time them perfectly when you're attacking, so you basically have to hit the next button immediately when the first attack hits, kind of like Arkham. And it feels very Arkham-ish how you can dart back and forth between targets and dodge out of the way of targets and stuff. It does feel very much Arkham and Asylum inspired, but the way that when you land the combo successfully, okay, bam, you've got health regenerated, bam, your cooldown for your super move is after going down, bam, you've done additional damage and gained power because of how you change your combos together. And like you can kind of you can set it up so that you might have one particular combo that regenerates more health than another one, or another combo that deals a lot more damage, puts you on the offensive more, or one that lowers your cooldown drastically, but you can mix and match as well, and I thought it was really brilliant. How they put it together worked really, really well, and the combat feels fantastic. Like, the feedback of hitting someone and stuff feels amazing. I don't know where these complaints about it being stilted come from. I really, really don't. Because
what
it
I love
feels
about it too,
fluid, responsive as hell.
I'm a sucker for a good sci-fi setting, and Remember Me's got that in spades.
Oh my god, man.
And I love how they kind of wrap that in with as she's fighting people and pulling memories out of them. It's kind of like Neo in The Matrix. She's teaching herself new martial arts.
Yeah, yeah. And
by ripping them out of people.
And just the way that they, like the way that they give memories and stuff like that a visual representation in it, you know, like you see... Like when she's memory jacking someone, you see these little white lines, these little, like, I can only call it cyberpunkish looking augmented reality stuff, you know? And it uses augmented reality everywhere. Like, you're looking at little, like, stands in the marketplace, little fruit stands and stuff, and you'll actually see augmented reality, like, little text popping up that describes what they're selling and all this kind of stuff. And it gives the world a real lived-in feel. And when you're doing the combat, and there's one particular move you do, it's called an overload. It's like a memory overload. It's like a finisher, basically. And when you do it, it looks like she knocks a guy to their knees, jumps behind them, and then, like, shotgun blasts their head from behind. But it's, like, just a virtual representation of it, like, as she's basically fragmenting memories. And it looks so badass.
Shotguns him in the back of the head with the guilt of having done something horrible.
Yeah, and, like, it just, it looks so awesome in action, and it never gets old. Well,
okay.
So far, I mean, I'm not finished the game yet, but you know, it as of now, it hasn't gotten old. You know,
have you seen the logic bomb yet?
Yes, and that was awesome.
That was because you normally you get area effect attacks. You know, they'll punch the ground and it's just like a big wave attack. The logic bomb was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Right, you know, it's like she hangs a booby trap on them.
Yeah.
A little augmented reality booby trap, and you see them clawing at it, trying to pull it off before it detonates.
Yeah, and so far I've loved the characters. The characters have been really cool. The graphics are absolutely stunning. Really, really pretty looking, you know, like borderline Uncharted 2 territory.
Art design
is stunning. Absolutely stunning. Like, just so beautifully realized. And the boss fights, I've done two boss fights so far, and they've both been fantastic. The first one I did was with this, you know, Dog the Bounty Hunter style memory hunter named something Christmas. I can't remember his first name. Kid Christmas, I think it was. You know, you run into him and he cordons off the area or you're in with a force field and all these cameras fly in and he's broadcasting the match against you.
And oh, is that the guy you see in the rolling demo? It looks like a cross between Marduk from Tekken and Destro.
Yeah, that's him. And he was awesome. Fighting him was fantastic. It was really cool. And, you know, like, you do unlock abilities as you go. Like, I killed him and I unlocked an ability that's almost like a projectile attack that stunned enemies and opened certain entrances. And it's been really, really cool so far. I've been really impressed with the game. Not a whole lot of originality in terms of gameplay, but in terms of concept, in terms of how it's implemented and how it looks and how it feels. Very, very unique game, man. Like, it's one of those things, I hate to say it, but I think it's going to be overlooked mainly because of the mainstream response to it. And again, you know, it's that whole last year syndrome. But, as much as I loved Syndicate or Binary Domain last year, you know how we thought we were in cyberpunk heaven?
Yeah.
This game annihilates both of them.
Well, it's because it's European cyberpunk.
I guess so.
Everyone who worked on this game, I will guarantee you Red Metal Herlant.
Oh, yeah, guaranteed. Guaranteed. Right? I mean, like, some of the backgrounds look right out of Mobius, man.
Oh, yeah. And, or, like, the friggin' old Aronofsky-written heavy metal stories.
And Milne herself.
Not Aronofsky, sorry. What's Buddy's name?
Jodorowsky.
Jodorowsky, the guy who's supposed to direct Dune.
Yeah, Alejandro Jodorowsky.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, like, it's... It looks great, and Nilan is a pretty cool character, you know, like a lot like Lara Croft in this year's Tomb Raider. She's kind of a unique female character. She's not...
What I loved about it is you look at the box art of the game, and you got the girl, of course, turned, looking over her shoulder, and it's a big shot of her ass, right? And I was like, looking, I said, oh, great. But no, she's... And this is more the art design. I love she's almost got this tall, waifish build.
Yeah.
Right? There's curves there, but they're not super accentuated.
Yeah.
I absolutely love the little skin imperfections they've got in her.
Yeah, and like just her voice and stuff is really cool too. She's got a really strong presence. She's a cool character, and I hope that I hope that the game pans out well in the end. I hope it plays a really cool end game, and I hope we see more of it, man. I really do.
Yeah,
I've been really happy with it. I'm hoping it's more a new franchise for Capcom and not another Crimson Tears or Chaos. What was it? Chaos Legion.
The darkest cliff thou bearest. The problem with Chaos Legion was having Tommy Lee Jones do all the voice acting.
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely give it on a scale of movie villainy from that lame asshole from The Long Kiss Goodnight to Frank Langella as Skeletor. I definitely give it a James Hong as David Lopan.
Oh, that's pretty lofty.
Wow. I thought you were
for anyone who doesn't understand our new rating system, you're not put upon this earth to get it. We got to keep... This is great. Fantastic.
So should that be the game that I buy?
I think, actually, Kev, yes. Kev, I think
it's apparently a pretty lengthy campaign. Apparently it's like an 8 to 12 hour campaign.
Okay.
And did you like Enslaved?
I loved Enslaved.
Did you like the combat in Enslaved?
The combat did not bother me one bit.
Then you'll enjoy Remember Me.
Okay, because I'm also looking at Metro Last Light. I'm like,
Metro is freaking amazing, dude.
That looks pretty deadly too, right?
Metro is amazing, and I'm told you don't have to have played the first one to really appreciate Last Light. Like, they give you a pretty good recap at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
And Last Light plays more like a traditional shooter than Metro 2033 does.
Right.
But, Metro 2033 was goddamn amazing, man.
Okay.
I own Last Light, but I haven't dug into it yet because I want to finish 2033.
Right.
But I mean, I was pretty deep into 2033, but I restarted it because I couldn't remember a lot of what went on early on.
Yeah.
And 2033 is freaking incredible, dude. And if Last Light's a better game than 2033, you're going to be looking at one of the best shooters of this generation.
Really?
Yeah. I should not.
That's just making me more confused.
Kevin, aren't you a musical director now?
Not this summer. No.
Oh, I was going to say, you can afford two games.
never mind. By the time it comes out, you'll be back in town again.
Oh, what's that?
I was going to say, you should splurge, get an MMO, and get Final Fantasy XIV for PS3 so we can party up. But
I won't even have internet where I'm going.
Yeah, it's not coming out until August 30th.
Yeah.
You won't have internet?
This
Ted, how are you going to download DuckTales?
Woo!
Is it an iOS? It's not on iOS. Is it?
No, I think it is, actually.
Is it really?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I could probably do that from some place that has internet out there.
I'm gonna go steal Wi-Fi from Dungeons and Dragons Laundromat. And
oh, speaking of, this is game related. Yep. There is, because I'm obsessed with arcade machines and pinball machines, and I totally want one so bad.
Yeah.
And I know this is a tangent, but I got to tell you guys, because I haven't been drinking. On Kijiji right now, there is a Dungeons and Dragons arcade, a pinball machine from 1987.
Nice!
In Newfoundland.
I want. How much is it? Like $8,000?
It's $1,100.
Oh, God.
And it's Stephenville.
I wouldn't care.
And it's a refurb job, so it's in working order.
I would be all over that.
Yeah, I thought he was going to say, we could get it out.
Is it based on the cartoon?
No, the front piece on it is actually the red box. It's that image.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I want it.
Oh, dude. I looked at it and I was like, oh my God.
If only I had $1,100.
Yeah. And wanted to drive to Stephenville.
Oh, it's a Bally pinball machine, too.
It is. Oh, you're fast.
Dude.
I've actually, you guys
obviously don't know about Pinside. I do.
No, I was on Pinside today looking that up.
Oh, God. Why?
Why? Because scarves were on sale.
God.
And you just bought a turntable, so shut your goddamn mouth.
It's hard to soar with the eagles when you're flying with turkeys.
Anyway, I had to bring that up because it looked really cool.
Well, I mean, if it was a Dungeons and Dragons pinball machine, I'd have to buy it.
I just hope whenever you put in a quarter, you hear, "Welcome to the D&D world. Welcome to the D&D. Welcome to the D&D world." That's something else I'm very excited to download.
Oh, the Capcom arcade
Chronicles of Mystara.
Yeah, I wish it was coming out on disc.
Oh, it's not.
No, it's coming out on PSN and Xbox Live, I believe.
Oh, speaking of that, of disc-based games that are released, Minecraft, that disc is out now.
Yes, is it?
As of today, I think. Came out today or yesterday?
Must have been yesterday.
Yeah.
No, because, okay, getting back on the games.
Before yesterday, June 4th.
Getting back to games people care about.
My daughter is going to love that shit, okay?
Yeah. No, I was just saying, between D&D and that ridiculous Dragon's Crown game, I'm going to be in fantasy beat-em-up heaven this summer.
And Dragon's Crown is coming for PS3, too. I thought it was only Vita.
No, it's PS3, and it's a disc release.
Yeah, I'm down. I am there.
And what I love about it is, like, this with that huge projection screen at your place, this presents a unique opportunity for the greatest game of Golden Axe that has ever been played. One of us got to make David Crusoe sounds whenever an enemy dies.
Oh, God!
That's awesome.
No. No. Anyway, you know, I guess that's all we had for reviews, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's
it. Kev, what have you been playing this week?
I'll just tell you what I've been playing.
Yeah,
I won't
tell
talk
us,
about
tell it. Us and give us your thoughts.
I played through Infamous 2.
Hey!
I was a huge fan of the first one. The second one is even better. I was watching you play the first one there a little while ago, Steve.
Yep.
And kind of getting pissed off with the combat. The combat in the second one is way better.
Yeah, because the first one, I gotta say, I'm enjoying the first one, because I didn't really hop on the Infamous train when it originally came out. John reviewed Infamous, I reviewed Prototype. Fuck you, Mercer.
I think I came out on top in that one.
Yeah, I think you did, you ass. But I never really got into it until I picked up the collection, and I'm kind of enjoying the first one, but it feels a little clunky to me.
You'll enjoy the second one much better. The melee combat is much better because you have a weapon, and it kind of, I don't know, and also you start the game with all of your powers. And once you start gliding around and grinding on electrical wires, it just makes going around.
You have a giant tuning fork.
You do have a giant tuning fork.
Apparently in my game it's going to be a giant samurai sword.
Yeah, that's right. That's kind of cool.
Yeah,
well, what I like about the tuning fork, it's actually the shocks from a bicycle.
Yeah. So I've been playing that, finished that one, and I've also been playing a fair bit of Card Hunter. Which is a PC game. I'm in the beta for that.
Is that the... No, that's not the one I'm thinking of. That's another.
No, Card Hunter is the kind of D&D throwback tabletop miniature game card game kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's cool. If you're into that kind of stuff, and especially if you're into card games, you'll really, really dig it. It's good. The design is fantastic. Obviously, these guys are huge D&D nerds because they're in jokes all over the place, which is deadly. And I've also been playing Warhammer Quest on iPad.
How about an official Blast Processing review of Warhammer Quest?
Warhammer Quest, which is actually a board game originally, is based, of course, on the Warhammer universe, which is fantastic. What these guys can do well is design. Holy moly, it's a beautiful game. Everything about it, the layout, everything. Really great game. It's turn-based, but it doesn't feel slow, because when you're giving commands to your guys, because it's party-based, you can have one person moving and start moving another one, that kind of a thing, right? So it doesn't feel slow.
And that's something that I find, like, a lot of turn-based games do kind of feel slow.
Yeah. Yeah, this definitely doesn't, just because of that. You can give multiple commands, which is cool. And, it just looks really, really good. If you're into that universe, the Warhammer universe, this is a game that you really enjoy. It's all party-based, and you go into town, and there's a fair bit of reading, which is nice, because it sets that kind of up, that role-playing game kind of feel to it, you know, where there's like an invisible DM who's giving you, you know, all the information about where you are. And I actually don't mind reading this stuff, because again, it's Games Workshop, and they know how to do that well, right?
Yeah, they've been doing it for, 4 years?
yeah. And especially when you go into a town, and, you know, you can go to different areas with your different party members to buy stuff and everything, and occasionally you'll get random events that happen to you while you're in the town. You know, and you can decide what to do to resolve this event, and something might happen because of it, you know. So it's really neat to have that kind of, that RPG quality, where instead of just going to town to buy stuff, you can go to town, but stuff can happen to you while you're in town.
Can have encounters and stuff.
Exactly, yeah. Now, those encounters don't happen in terms of the gameplay, the dungeon crawl gameplay. It's all done in text.
Okay.
But that's still cool, because it gives that RPG kind of tabletop quality to it, right?
Nice.
Which is really nice, yeah. I'm digging it. The difficulty level ramps up really fast.
Uh-oh. It does. So you're saying I'm going to check out pretty early.
Oh, man. I'm on my third dungeon, and I started going through it, and I reached a dead end, which sucked. I had to backtrack. And then I got to this certain section, and they told me that the ceiling was starting to collapse, and I didn't realize that because of the ceiling collapsing, I only had so many game turns to get through the rest of it before that caved in, right? So, because I kept seeing this thing up on the top, and it said turns 7, and I was like, oh, I wonder what that means. Then it got to 0, and its campaign failed. And I was like, oh, shit.
Dang.
Yeah, but it's fun, and, you know, inventory is really easy. The only thing I don't like about it is to access your inventory screen, you have to turn the iPad vertical.
Really?
Yes. It's so unnecessary. I don't know why they did it.
Well, they'd implement Kinect controls.
So that's the only thing I don't like about it.
Fair enough.
Other than that, on the scale of classic D&D monsters, with bugbears being on the bottom... And
bugbears are awesome.
Tarrasque on the top.
And okay, let's make them owlbears. With owlbears being on the bottom and beholders being at the top, I would give them a were rat.
Nicely were rat.
Yeah.
It doesn't even get the teleporting cat.
I'll give them what are they, blink dogs?
Blink dog, yeah, there we
blink
go.
Dogs are cool. I'll give them one of those.
I'll give it an invisible stalker.
Yeah. Oh, there, oh god, yes.
Go. Rust monster.
All right, boys, since the big, you know, the big thing for the year is happening next week, I think it's time for Ambush! Pew, pew, pew.
Wow.
Pew, pew.
Fire the retro rockets.
I knew you wouldn't let me down. My question, of course, predictions, E3. John, go.
Why'd you have to start with me?
Just because.
He gives me time, you see. Because I'm slower, I got to think about it.
Predictions?
Yeah.
Pain.
God.
Okay, so I looked at what Capcom's got showing for E3. And, you know, this is a developer I grew up with, right? I remember the days when that Capcom purple box was a sign of quality. And they don't really have a whole lot to be showing off. I think the biggest game they've got is Lost Planet 3. Now, I know we've been talking about there probably, you know, there's a lot of going to be a lot of surprises coming when the new systems hit. Capcom is promising a big surprise. I'm predicting that big surprise is going to be a disappointment.
New Mega Man for download!
See, that wouldn't be a disappointment to me.
But it's a download.
Yeah, well, that's the only way you're going to... Mega Man doesn't work in the modern world.
I guess not, apparently.
You know, you can hire great studios to make awesome-looking first-person shooters as much as you want, but it doesn't work.
All right, and I'll break it down a little further for you. Now we'll call this the lightning round. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Best conference.
I didn't get to say what my thing was going to be, and you didn't say one either. You didn't even ambush yourself, Steve.
No, well, I was going to go back to... I was going to do us then after that. You know? Okay, well, Kev, your thing. Your prediction. Your big predictions for E3.
My big predictions for E3?
Yep.
I hope that Nintendo's going to have a really good showing. And I expect the big crowd gathering in the parking lot for the Ouya thing are going to get really drunk and crash the conference. Yep, chanting, Ouya, Ouya.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, those are my predictions.
Those are your predictions?
And a Sega console.
A Sega console.
They're not going to see it coming.
I still think that'd be the greatest thing since that episode of The Simpsons when the Soviet Union reformed. Thought you guys were broken up. That's just what we wanted you to believe.
All right, we ready?
Yep.
You ready for the next part? Okay, my predictions. Xbox One is not nearly so bad as people think it's going to be. That's right out of the gate.
Yeah, I buy that.
And not really anything of interest from a whole lot of third parties. Not a lot of surprises, I don't think. Like Ubisoft, EA, Capcom, Square Enix. I know Square Enix teased that they'll have, you know, some kind of a sign of the next generation Final Fantasy. So maybe Final Fantasy 15, which would be a huge surprise. But I don't think we're going to see any major surprises from...
Oh, you think we're going to see the Konami Contra C again and then nothing?
No, I don't. I don't think we will. Especially considering I think Konami's E3 thing went up online this evening.
Oh.
Yeah, and all it was Evolution Soccer, Metal Gear, and Castlevania.
Okay, no, because I was really hoping that, you know, since Platinum did that Metal Gear Rising and it wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
They'd give them Contra and all my dreams would come true.
Yeah, that would be amazing. You know, maybe they could just release Vanquish with a Contra C in front of it and call it Kvanquish. And this time people would actually buy it and play it.
And, yeah, instead of using rocket boosts to slow down time, your guy flexes.
Okay, five criteria, lightning round. You ready?
Yeah.
John, you're up first. Best conference.
Ubisoft, because it can't suck any more than it sucked the last couple of years.
Hey, Ubisoft's last year was fucking amazing. Thank you very much.
Oh, sorry. Last year was Watch Dogs.
And Aisha, who was actually a really goddamn good host.
Okay. All right. Sorry. All right. Best conference.
And the year before last year, it was good, too. The year before last year, it was Ghost Recon and stuff. So it wasn't bad that year, either.
Kiss my bottom.
Best conference. Ubisoft. Okay.
Ubisoft.
Best game.
shagada. I'm losing the lightning round. We're going to see Watch Dogs, and it's going to be amazing.
Okay, Watch Dogs. Is that your answer?
Yeah, game of show.
Right. Inappropriate celebrity appearance.
Oh my god, these are hard.
Somebody's going to think it's going to be a good idea to hire Dane Cook to host something, and it's going to backfire horribly.
Worst conference.
Worst conference? No, I'm not going to go with Microsoft. They've been stinking it up the past couple years, but they've actually got something to prove this time. Worst conference this year? Nintendo, because they're not having one.
Touché, Grasshopper. Okay, Kev, best conference.
Oh, God. Sony.
Best game.
Best game.
Yep.
Oh, jeez Louise.
Kevanquish.
best game. Man, Drossomely 2 is already out.
Is there a new Scribblenauts coming?
I don't know. I really don't know.
You don't know?
Surprise relaunch of Adventures of Lolo.
Battletoads.
Inappropriate celebrity appearance.
Pitbull.
Worst conference.
Worst conference?
Yeah.
Well, I gotta give it to Microsoft.
Surprise OMG game.
What?
Surprise game. Surprise OMG announced game, you know?
You didn't ask me that.
I didn't ask you that?
No, you didn't.
Sorry. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't. Surprise OMG game, John.
The surprise relaunch of Adventures of Love. No, Kevanquish.
Kevanquish. Okay, Kev, surprise OMG game. Think can like I last
say,
year's.
Can I say Mirror's Edge too? I mean,
yeah, sure
there's
you can.
A
why
baseball
not?
Announcement.
Yeah, sure, why not?
But it has been popping up.
Yeah.
There is a Mirror's Edge too. It's called Remember Me.
And I would really like to see it.
Okay. Mirror's Edge 2. I'm okay, are we ready?
He's probably got these all written down to make himself sound smarter.
I really don't.
You're like Alex Trebek. I know he's got the answers on that, Kurt.
Best conference? Sony. No doubt. Best game? Destiny, because I think Bungie has something really fucking special up.
Shit, I forgot about Destiny.
I don't think that they have shown all their cards yet, and I think when people see the actual gameplay at Sony's conference, it's going to be fucking retarded.
Can we set a new rule until that game is released and we review it?
Okay.
You got to pronounce it as Orson Welles.
Destiny. inappropriate celebrity appearance, Dame Judi Dench.
Oh my god.
There's nothing inappropriate about Judi Dench.
Worst conference? Konami. Because have you seen any of their conferences for the last few years?
I saw the Contra C and I got too excited.
surprise OMG game?
Killer Instinct.
Maybe. Yeah, probably.
It'll never happen.
You know what? I don't never say never. Never say never. But the thing is, if it does happen, is it really going to be like, oh my god!
Killer Instinct. Woo! With Kinect controls.
And of course, I really have no faith in Rare anymore because all of the creative minds from Rare are long gone. So
I always thought it was hilarious that Microsoft, when they got into the console business, spent a shit ton of money to buy Rare.
Yeah.
Because Rare was still, you know, pretty hot from their Nintendo, even though they cooled a bit during the N64. They still had a couple big hits, right?
They had games that
they spent the first
worst playing on N64. Well, I mean, hey, GoldenEye, for God's sake.
GoldenEye, Conker's Bad Fur Day, Perfect Dark, which was better than GoldenEye, in my opinion. Yeah.
But, anyway.
No, they paid all their money for them. They spent the first Xbox generation doing nothing. A remake of Conker's Bad Fur Day, and then they the double whammy of suck when the 360 launched with Perfect Dark Zero and Cameo.
cameo was kind of good. And actually, you know what? I enjoyed Perfect Dark. I finished it, but I mean, it was nothing special.
I've got really a steel copy of Perfect Dark that I'm going to beat you with.
I finished it. I went through it, and I enjoyed my time with that game. But it was nothing special. It was an Xbox game, you know, not an Xbox 360 launch title. It was a original Xbox game, just with the resolution bumped up. That's all. It didn't feel drastically different from the first Perfect Dark, which is kind of sad. So my surprise OMG game, I'm going to say Final Fantasy 15. I honestly think you're going to see, you know, this Crystal Engine or whatever it's called, this new engine that they've been showing off the last few conferences. I think you're going to see a first trailer for Final Fantasy 15, and it's going to be done entirely in-game with this.
And look as good as their CG trailers.
Yeah, and it's going to be stunning. So that's it. There we go.
Nice.
Next week, E3 starts on, I think Sunday is the first one. Sunday is the first kickoff. Monday is the big day.
New co-host, because Kevin's abandoning us.
Kev is abandoning us, which is...
Guys, sad. I'm very sad about this.
I am too. But hey, road trip!
Who knows? Who knows? I might get out there, and I might have internet. You never know.
It would be awesome if you did have internet, but if you didn't, the following weekend, Father's Day weekend, me and John may have to make a road trip out and record our post E3 episode.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
And I want to come along when you drop Kev out, because I'm all about greasy spoons, and I never get to go to them. I want to order French fries that are smothered in gravy and ground beef.
I have to see how much shit he's bringing with him.
We got to find a diner with a lady named Flo working behind the counter.
I guess that's it for this week. Everybody, yeah. have a good E3.
You know, if you've been listening to this, we are Blast Processing. You are the Resistance.